right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk FM 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as we head towards our first college football weekend of the season. Starts tomorrow night with a couple interesting matchups and continues on all the way through the weekend until Monday night, Labor Day weekend, as Ohio State plays Virginia Tech. But the kind of crux of the whole weekend looks at maybe Alabama and Wisconsin Saturday night. Several good games, of course, Indiana hosting Southern Illinois, 4 o'clock at Memorial Stadium on Saturday is what we'll spend a lot of time talking about here in a little while. But before we get there, as always, when Indiana basketball makes a little news, it tends to dominate around here. And there's yet another follow-up to the story of Emmett Holt and Thomas Bryant almost 2 weeks ago now. They were cited for illegal possession of alcohol. Both of them are under 21. They were both not in the driver's seat of a vehicle, and excise police cited them both for being in possession each of a bottle of vodka. Three other people were listed at the time as being in the car. It was not mentioned who they were. You could tell me, Glass. I could have sworn that the time they had said that they didn't recognize anybody, so they didn't make note of it. Well, suddenly now we know who they are. Juwan Morgan was the other IU basketball player, current IU basketball player, that was in the car, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But unfortunately, we hear that also in the car was Hanner Mascara-Perea, who had already been released from the program earlier in the summer, and he seems to be, at this point, Glass, the gift that keeps on giving, because here he
got
is.
Got himself kicked off the
back
team.
Back in Bloomington.
Was with Devin Davis when he was eliminated, and now Emmett Holt. So he's wiped out one-fifth of the roster in 4 months.
That's quite
not
an
bad,
accomplishment.
Not bad at all. Well, the accomplishment goes back to, again, you don't want to tell us who's in the car? Well, guess what the journalists are going to do? They're going to go find out who's in the car. So if you're going to – and again, Indiana just looks silly here. What we heard from Fred Glass on, what was it, Monday? Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Osterman joined us from the Indy Star, right?
Right?
He comes out and tells us how this is Tom Crean's decision. Tom did this. Tom did that. Have you heard from Tom Crean yet?
No.
Okay.
Not since the
tailgate.
Yeah,
tour.
Not since the tailgate.
Since
that's
the punishment.
That was before,
well,
the
if Tom came to this right. decision, wouldn't somebody want to ask Tom about it and the other issues?
He must not be answering his phone.
Well, then you go Fred on did. And say, we're not going to talk about the other kids in the car. Then we're part of the report. And bam, how many hours later the kids come out in the report? So, it's again, it's you step on landmine after landmine after landmine, and nothing rings truer. We talked about this last week, and I mentioned last Wednesday before the tailgate tour, I said when the names get out of the other people in the car, Indiana fans aren't going to be very happy.
Yeah.
And Tom Crean's words at that tailgate tour on Thursday night were, boy, if I could go do it again, I probably would have got rid of Hanner Perea
right then.
Right then. Well,
wonder
why
right,
he
exactly.
said that, or wonder why he changed his tune so immediately. But there you go. So it still baffles me to this day why Indiana went to bat for him and Jerkin. 9-game NCAA suspension. OWI, just a 2-game in-season suspension. Tom has already admitted that was the wrong call there. And I just never – to bring the – it started before he played a game here. Indiana and Baylor were in a big recruiting
right.
tussle with
That's
him.
That's exactly right.
And there were guys at Baylor saying,
got Baylor
hey,
in trouble.
We're going to get you deported. This is going to get deported. I'm going to get deported. You're going to lose your job. I'm going to lose my job. Mark Adams is involved somehow with all this. 9-game suspension for a guy who never played a game at Indiana University. So you go to the mat for these two guys, and you could argue in the last couple of years – there has been no collateral damage we've seen like this from one player.
Not from one person.
It's unbelievable. So a 9-game suspension. You hear he's not working hard enough.
Who's the guy that Kentucky sent money to in the envelope?
Chris Mills transferred to Arizona.
Yeah, but it seems like what happened was not, in
nothing.
That case.
But then you hear Perez not working hard. And then he had something every 2 months with this guy, and they gave him every shot about it. And I know you can't tell the kids, hey, don't hang out with him if he comes to visit in town. But, my God,
yeah,
it's just the level of bad decision-making here just continues to spiral out of control. So it's not like Emmett Holt didn't have any idea in the situation. You know what? I'll give Morgan a pass and Brian a pass. Oh, the dude used to play.
What do they know?
Oh,
better?
You're the dude who got kicked off the team. Okay. For what? Yeah, I don't know.
What
kids
do they know
don't
better,
care.
Right? Yeah.
But the point is,
they're hanging with their boy.
We
Holt.
Wonder why Holt gets thrown off the team. Well, there
That's
you go.
Why. Yeah.
You've just seen why. And Perea, Mike Miller's story in the Herald Times says today is on probation until September 9th.
Yeah,
this happened two weeks ago.
That's why the alcohol can't be in his possession,
I
assume.
Well, that's exactly right. So, Emmett Holt, I'll help you.
Right. I'll grab
See
that.
See you later.
Yeah.
Well, wow. How stupid.
Well, and that's the case. And then there's rumors going on that he was hanging out with other teammates, older teammates, over the weekend or over the week.
All
also,
the
again,
love,
they're
bro.
Buddies.
I
get that. But this is also why Tom Crean is talking about the leadership on this team. Because, look, a leader for a team of basketball or football players can't be expected, just like the coach can't be expected, to be around you 24/7 making your decisions
there
for you.
There is no culture.
But they lead by example. And if they're hanging out with the guy who's been thrown off the team, what's the young guys going to do? They're going to do the same thing, probably. They're going to see it as okay and then go do it.
And there's been nothing in the past that we've seen that has stopped any of this from happening. Run to you puke, guy getting kicked off the team, two guys getting kicked off the team. Now it's three guys getting kicked off the team.
Yeah.
Michael McRobbie said it needs to stop, and we'll see what happens when the next incident happens of who it is, what sport it is, and how the athletic code of conduct goes through that. Again, the basketball, there ain't a lot of smarts going on right over there. And sorry that I'm harsh on it, but prove me differently.
Yep.
Show me where I'm missing the point. Show me where I don't get it.
Well, more importantly, show me that they get it and stop with the incidents. Stop making news, and let's get on to the season here eventually.
Enjoy running those stairs and enjoy that bucket.
Saturday is the official start of the season for Indiana football, and we will talk Indiana football when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Generalissimo Franco is still dead. Emmett Holt is still kicked off the team. Hopefully we move forward, and that's the extent of that. But we move on to a different sport on a different field of play. The gridiron starts this weekend, starts tomorrow, in fact, for college football. Not a lot of big testers in the Big Ten this weekend, but there are a couple that make some serious note. No question about that. Ohio State and Virginia Tech and Alabama against Wisconsin. The big ones in particular. A couple others that are some interesting visits. Purdue goes to Marshall, which will be very testy because Purdue's in no position to be going to CUSA team and a decent one at that and trying to win. So hopefully they'll lose on the road. That's one of those sinkhole games to me. Hopefully, because I can't stand Marshall either. But looking at Indiana, who plays Southern Illinois 4 o'clock on Saturday, this is a decent 1AA team. Of course, they have been victorious in Indiana, in Memorial Stadium. They beat the team about 10 years ago. Jerry Kill, who is a coach at Minnesota, was the head coach of Southern Illinois at the time. There was some upheaval at the quarterback position for the Hoosiers. Not this year. It's Nate Sudfeld's show. So,
Kellen Lewis had about 9 turnovers that day.
Well, he and Blake Powers both. I mean, there was a lot of indecision.
Like 3 times.
He
just
fumbled a couple
the ball
times.
Like a loaf of bread out here. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. He fumbled a couple times. They had a 21-0 lead on Southern Illinois, and they lost 35-28. I mean, so it was an ugly day.
It was.
But again, the quarterback position not in question. Talk about that right off the bat because it's Nate Sudfeld's show. I want people to be a little careful on this. There is a lot of promise with Nate Sudfeld.
Nate
right
Sudfeld
now.
Got a lot better last year not playing. Did you notice that?
I noticed that, and that's my point.
I'm with you.
He has 12 starts
ever.
His
that's one season.
His numbers for the amount of time he has played are pretty darn good.
No,
he is a
question.
Got a big arm. He is a smart quarterback. He is clearly taking a leadership role on this team. He does not have 3 years starting experience with this team.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
And that's the one thing I would just want people to be careful of because they they forget that in the first five games of last year, the passing offense,
was
I'm not going to blame Sudfeld for it because his receivers were not very good, but the passing offense was nearly non-existent for this team when he was on the field. So I want people to be careful to project too much onto Nate Sudfeld of having to do amazing stuff or that he will do amazing, crazy numbers, because let's be just a little careful with him. He's got the gain this experience.
The only
still.
Number I want to see by Nate Sudfeld's name at the end of the year is six for the amount of wins he put up. That's it.
Yeah, or interceptions. Just not throwing
to get you to the bowl game. That's it, because that's what Indiana football is about right now. It's making a bowl game.
And the good news is with an offensive line coming back and a running back who's top class, you've got other things you can rely on. It doesn't have to be him being greedy.
But when Nate Sudfeld got hurt, the best game he had, obviously, I don't think even statistic-wise, but winning-wise, was at Missouri. There's no question about that. But the other opponents on the schedule last year were not ranked in the top 25 or 50.
Keep in mind, we lost to Bowling Green. Now, it's defensive also, but
that's what I'm saying. That team is not ranked in the top half of defenses in America. So, as you mentioned, it was not like this was the Big Ten season where he ground out and made some good numbers. This was against Bowling Green and Indiana State and whoever else they played last year. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I understand sometimes after being in camp, you need a couple games, a game and a half to get your feet, your timing, your rhythm, and everything else going. That's great. What we do know about Nate Sudfeld is pro scouts love him, and that doesn't automatically translate into wins. And if you're an Indiana football fan right now, if you think it's cool to have guys drafted going 3-9, I ain't with you, bro. I ain't listening to that tune. I ain't tuning into that station, because football is about winning games. It's not about cranking guys out to the NBA. You notice the last time Indiana put two guys in the NBA in the top five draft picks, they're in the Sweet 16, number one most of the country. Mm-hmm. That kind of takes care of that self and that angle. But you know what? When Noah Vonleh went pro and Indiana was what, 17 and 15?
Yeah.
Didn't really do a lot for me as a fan. So let's take this in perspective. Nate Sudfeld, talented, check mark. Size, optimum. Arm, optimum. Mm-hmm. Lots of positive things the NFL scouts like, but his game experience, there is no way to argue through this. Half of those games he threw up huge numbers were in relief in comeback attempts, down 25 playing cover two deep. Nate Sudfeld picked him apart. I'm going to give him credit for that. But this Indiana team, Dave, in the last 5 years doesn't have a lot of wins. So to go ahead and anoint them to the 7-8 win factor because of their quarterback, you're on the right track, but you're on the wrong train. What, the kid has talent. That doesn't equal wins immediately.
333-2665 is our phone number. You've got to have a good quarterback. I think we have a good quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that. He's been made into an elite quarterback, and I think he has skills to be there.
That's fine. Good for him. Good.
I want people to be careful and be cautious about this. He had two fantastic games last year. First of all, give him credit for Missouri, but his best games were at Bowling Green in North Texas. North Texas was no good, and Bowling Green's defense stunk. And Missouri's defense was decent last year, but it was not what it had been the couple years before that.
And we'll give him credit
for playing. He was 14 of 37 for 126 yards and one interception, no touchdowns against Maryland.
14 of 37?
14 of 37.
And that game was where?
Here. That's a home game. He was 11 of 18 for 111 yards, no touchdowns and one interception against Indiana State. Again, the receivers did not help things out last year by not even close. No question. But again, I don't want to make him into Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck into college just yet. Let's give him a little room to grow here.
Gets a lot of credit when things go correctly. And he shouldn't get as much blame as he does when it goes backwards, because the quarterback doesn't give up 32.5 points a game.
Exactly.
The quarterback doesn't give up 499 yards a game.
Quarterback didn't drop all those passes. And to his credit, he puts them on the money that were dropped last year.
Now, the good news about Indiana football moving forward is there is more to talk about than the quarterback.
Well,
that's the good news.
The good news is there is still, I'm not going to squash this at all, there is a ton of promise on Nate Sudfeld. A ton of promise.
More than
He could have a phenomenal year. There's no question about
it. The individuality of the quarterback position, he can dominate it. But if he throws five touchdowns and the defense gives up six, he's not winning games.
Right.
And if Nate Sudfeld throws for 39 touchdowns this year and 14 interceptions, and four of those interceptions are in the fourth quarter, down 3 points, okay. I'm looking for wins. If you as a fan are looking for stats and draft future, so you can say, just like Kyle Schwarber, hey, that's our boy Sudfeld, that's fine. I'm not subscribing to that. That's a me problem, not a you problem.
In 5.5 games last year, because he went out in the middle of the Iowa game, he had six touchdowns passing. He had 3 interceptions.
So that's on pace for 15 and
but
9.
But here's the thing. For a high-powered NFL prospect, presumably is what we're hearing here, in 5.5 games to have 6 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, that doesn't sound to me like NFL prospect numbers in that regards. And again, I fully agree. I talked about it all last year. The wide receivers had a lot to do with that. No question about it. But it doesn't stand out that way as being automatic NFL material. You've just got to take a little bit off of Nate Sudfeld and look at the rest of that offense, because the wide receivers are not getting more experience this year. It was an inexperienced group last year, but it had 2 guys with a ton of experience coming back in Nick Stoner and Shane Wynn. And these guys, they made a couple plays, but they didn't make nearly enough themselves. And then a lot of youngsters really kind of shirked their responsibility to step up. So there's a huge key right now in the passing game to help Nate Sudfeld, that somebody starts making those catches, because they didn't make them then. And granted, the second half of the season, you had, less than the stellar play at quarterback too, but somebody's got to step up. And more than one guy. You've got to have multiple guys step up. Not only do you have to have leaders to go to that you lost, but you've got to have guys just to make your regular plays.
Absolutely. In the tight end core, there's 4 of them, and then they are pretty tight, and guys that have all had a chance to play at this level, mm-hmm. and that is probably the more experienced group, because when you look at the wide receiver group, Ricky Jones, when was the last time he played?
Oh, yeah.
100 years ago?
Been a lot.
Nick Westbrook, true freshman. Yep. Looking at the depth chart. Simi Cobbs.
Played a lot last year, but honestly, dropped a lot of balls.
Can you tell me 2 things he did last year?
No, dropped a lot of balls.
Mitchell Page is the other guy. I remember Mitchell Page. He was in the City Golf Tournament.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And Damon Graham is the other. Is a fourth-year true senior at the other 6 wide receiver positions. Where's Dominique Booth?
Yeah.
That's
a good question.
He
started by the end of last season. I don't know why he's not on this 2D.
He stopped going to Tennessee to come here.
Yeah.
He's not one of the 6 top 6 receivers at Indiana University right now.
He's not listed right now.
Well, that doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
Maybe he can't play.
2 true freshmen on here, as you
and
mentioned.
2 true freshmen.
And maybe right now they might be throwing people out there.
Take the depth chart for what it's worth.
Exactly. But you're exactly right. And here's what you see. You see 2 true freshmen. You see a couple guys who are sophomores that played a lot last year that aren't listed. And you see the equivalent of Greg Heben for the offense in Mitchell Page, who is an excellent golfer and maybe an excellent wide receiver for this team. But a walk-on 5'7 guy as one of your starting wide receivers day one, when you've brought in a lot of talented guys. I don't see Marquise Hawkins listed here. He's the guy from UAB who was a Florida recruit.
They've changed his position, that's why.
Well, they didn't change his position. He was a wide receiver for IU. Florida changed him to a DB. He transferred to UAB to play wide receiver.
And
never got on the field.
Changed his position. He is now a hybrid back wide receiver.
That's fine. He's not listed on here.
That's my point. I don't know if that's because of his new position or whatever it is.
He's not listed.
Indiana doesn't list a fullback either.
Point there is those are 2, 3, and 4 star recruits at wide receivers to some college somewhere that isn't listed on the 2 deep here. Somebody in that area has to step up, and a lot of people have to step up in some fashion, much bigger than they did last year, because they were an enormous disappointment at wide receiver last year.
The key for Indiana football is if you're – offense can't set the tempo. You're relying on your defense to do so. And that's not the combination you want. The good news for perhaps Indiana, and Zach talked about that, Osterman from the Indy Star on Monday, the running back situation might be a little a steadying influence, because it's not tackle, loss of 1, gain of 1, 80-yard touchdown, defense back on the field. Mm-hmm. You got a guy who can move the sticks. That's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen. Redding is a more between-the-tackles pounder.
Right.
Where what Indiana doesn't need, points are great. Big offense is great. You're not going to tell Tevin Coleman to fall down on the 8 and let's run some clock off. It's not going to happen. But these other backs are known for 6-7 yards, 5-6-7 yards, 8-9-10 yards, instead of home run, loss, home run. And the defense goes right back on the field, and that's the tough part.
And I know you're not saying this. You don't ever want to not have a guy like Tevin Coleman that can make a touchdown on any play. But I know what you're saying, and that is, for this team,
puts the defense on the field too quick.
The last couple years, if you haven't figured out as an IU football fan that a little bit of ball control on the offensive side would be helpful. Now, putting up 80 a game would be most helpful, don't get me wrong, if that's what you can do, but they haven't done that. So until you do that, then go ahead and hold it a little bit more and score 35. 25 and have 29 minutes of possession instead of scoring 33 and having 23 minutes of possession, which is what it was like 2 years ago. The offensive line has all the pressure this year because we've heard for 3 weeks how great this offensive line is and what an incredible pro prospect that Dan Feeney and Jason Spriggs both are. And they may very well be. They're good players. There's no question. But there are two guys on a line of five, which is a group that has to work as five. They've got three new starters. Jake Reed has started, and he started at center. So, you know, it's a familiar position to him, but he hasn't been a regular guy there.
Didn't he start
Wes Martin is a redshirt.
And linebacker?
Didn't he get
that?
Kicked out of a game early last year or the year before because he got in a fight in the first quarter of a game? Yes, he did. So these are all things that you have to look out for. I like a scrapper like that at center, don't get me wrong, but I'd like him to stay in the game for all 60 minutes also. So let's be careful.
But it's not like he's a tried and true guy that's played center
his
whole career.
At tackle, you've got a guy who's played that tackle spot, but right behind him are a couple promising recruits you've bought in the last couple years that can't beat him out yet. And they haven't played for IU yet. At left guard, you've got two redshirt freshmen, promising recruits, very nice recruits that were brought in. They haven't played a down for IU football yet. So there's still some question marks on that offensive line. I still am going to hold the judgment until, again, you go out against the likes of a Western Kentucky, who's going to be a much better opponent than Southern Illinois this weekend. And you show me a third and three a couple times a game where they use the running game to go get that third and three. I'm not talking against Ohio State and Michigan State. I'm talking when you should. This team has struggled with Towson and Eastern Kentucky to move the ball and show some offensive line strength.
Western Kentucky,
it needs to do that now that we've heard all this much about the offensive
line.
And
it's just not one play. It's keeping the defense off the field and letting them catch their breath.
Yeah, that's some extension.
You can't.
Drives,
yes,
no question.
You have to do that. Kevin Wilson said on the 31st, Marquis Hawkins has been working as a dual threat running back / wide receiver. So again, he's not even
he didn't wow him so much at one spot stick there and blow everybody away.
And he's not in the six.
Maybe he will.
And again, the depth chart, sometimes you have to take what it is. Sometimes that gets in guys' locker and says, you're not one of those six.
Well, exactly right.
Time to get
it. And Kevin likes to do that. There's no question.
He does like to
make sure.
He likes to get your attention. And some guys need their attention getting other ways than other guys. Some guys need it in the media. Some guys need a quiet word on the sideline. Some guys need it posted and framed in their locker that they are not included at this moment of playing time.
Kevin
right
has had no problem doing that. He did that with Dominic Boothel
early
last year. He barely saw the field last year in the season. And then later on, he started becoming a pretty regular starter.
So that jumped out at me. That's from Mike Miller's Twitter earlier in the week. And when you said his name when he wasn't on there, Mike, he's not there in that sense. But
I imagine he will play, but there's a question to be asked there.
Of course.
Some significant questions.
Can you believe that Western Kentucky is favored at Vanderbilt to start the season?
Vanderbilt was an utter train wreck last year.
But still,
Western
on the road
Kentucky,
Western
Kentucky last year was a nice team, and they will be a difficult out, here at IU. That's in a couple weeks, though. So we'll talk about the schedule in a little while, but the big question mark for IU football. Talked about some offensive question marks we have to be answered, but the big one is, of course, the entire defense. And there's not a lot of starters coming back. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Remains to be seen.
Fresh.
Some folks moving around. Some new folks at the back end of a bad back end defense. So we will see. We'll talk defense when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes here. We got Colts football tomorrow night. Their final preseason game starts at 6 o'clock. That's an early one, so pay attention to that. 6 o'clock
Let
for
me help
pregame.
Everybody out with that. David Hayes, your money's usually on at 6 o'clock. David's going to go live from the studio on Saturday morning, so you technically won't miss any content this week. It's just at a newer time on Saturday. So we're not going to run a presentation after all the Colts is done. I just don't want to mislead anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's Colts pregame at 6. Bob Lamey, the Colts Veteran Radio Network at 7 for the final preseason game there. Clear up all that.
And then Friday night, we continue high school football with Edgewood football. They are hosting Cloverdale. 6:30 is Chalk Talk. 7 o'clock is kickoff out there in Ellettsville. On Saturday, we'll have Reds baseball, 1 o'clock with Milwaukee in town. Of course, also Saturday, IU football kicks off their season against Southern Illinois. We covered the offense a little bit. I think the key to the offense is a lot of promise. We have seen that Kevin Wilson will run up some offensive numbers.
You can figure that part.
You have to expect they'll put some numbers up. Will it be consistent? That remains to be the question. Nope. On the other side of the ball, though, are the biggest questions of all, because while there was a slight incremental statistical difference in the defense last year and certainly a strategic difference in the defense, look, they played a far worse set of offenses last year. I pointed this out when Terry was in town and on doing the show for us, just how bad statistically it got offensively for the opponents last year compared to the year before. That's just a fact of the matter. Did the defense get better? A little.
You never play the same schedule.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter.
That had something to do with it.
What they need to believe is they've gotten better, whether it's right. If you want to nerd it out and get it down to the decimal points, and maybe they weren't. They have to believe they're getting better, Dave, and they were in some games. They knew their offense was limited last year. I think the pressure even fell on them more to try to, again, just get one more shot or try to get one more stop so that the offense can come on and make something happen. And you'd love to see one time in the 7-year contract of Coach Wilson's, or if he gets extended, that's great, 1 year where it kind of goes like it should on offense, and it kind of should get a little bit better on defense, where you're not dealing with major injuries on either side of the football. The one thing about Indiana's football problem, and this, I'm going to tie this into the defense eventually, is it seems like one injury on either side of the ball can affect the season that greatly because of the lack of depth.
Absolutely.
They're not that deep. If Darius Latham gets hurt on the defensive line, yeah, you got some other guys to play in there. They're just not as good as Darius Latham.
Right.
That's the issue, and that's where Indiana football is right now. And that's what the hole you're trying to get out of. Boy, it would just be nice to go to camp with everybody, avoid any major injuries, and see if this thing could work. But what it keeps telling me is that doesn't happen very often because it doesn't, because guys get hit, guys get injured, guys get suspended, whatever the thing is. But the depth in numbers, Dave, hasn't been there, and you thought maybe this year you get a little secondary help. You finally got some guys playing in there that can compete for some positions, and the Anthony or Antonio Allen thing happens, and it just seems like it recycles itself year after year.
What you start with here is up front, you finally have some older depth among your
since
players.
Since the Replogle days.
You can look at it statistically. When it was Adam Replogle, Larry Black, Mike Metzger, there was another guy on that team that couldn't play his senior year because of injuries, but he was a very good tackle. They had a two-deep rotation for a couple years.
Kept
that team
fresh.
Was in the 60s or 70s nationally in total defense, scoring defense, during their senior year because up front they could control things. The minute they graduated, it went back down into the hundreds, and it was the same last year. It was right around that same neighborhood. It was a little higher because, again, the bottom of the year before, but they weren't much higher last year. They have some more veterans. They're growing up, obviously, on that defensive line. They're still not real deep, but you could probably go too deep at most of those three spots up
front. But you don't have to be great too deep. You have to be competent too deep, and I think there's a difference to that because the too deep you're running out there this year isn't senior freshmen. Junior and freshman.
No.
You've got at least some guys that have been around.
And not at three defensive line positions.
Right.
And here's the problem. I still think to some degree you've got 4-3 personnel, and you're fitting them into this thing that they've brought in here. This 3-4 with this bandit thing, whatever the heck that thing is. I still don't love what you've got at that bandit spot. I want to see some of the youngsters there. I like Zach Shaw. He's a nice player. I thought he was a hard worker as a 4-3 end. I'm not as sure, just like I wasn't with Mike Mangieri, how good he's going to be at that spot out in space. I think he's maybe a little bit more athletic. I don't think it's a dramatic. I want to see a linebacker that covers a lot of space at that spot. You've got guys who have played some snaps at your linebacker spots, but they're also guys that haven't been top starters. So when you lose a David Cooper and a Flo Harden, I think you maybe get a little bit more athletic behind them, but you lose all of their experience. And when you look at last year versus this year, of the starters last year, of the 7 back-end starters, 6 of them are no longer there. So T.J. Simmons is the only guy that started the games last year. But they did have some guys at linebackers that played some good snaps. So don't get me wrong.
That is Murphy's Law,
though,
isn't it?
But it's still a lack of experience, and a lot of those guys were true freshman type of guys.
Well, Harden and Cooper played almost every down as juniors and seniors. How do those other guys? Either you beat them out or you learn scout team or you learn being in the second team, and when you get your chance, you step up. But stepping up into that, Simmons is the guy. He got here, January of his freshman year. He jumped right into things and has played almost
every down. Yep. And the signal caller. I mean, that's what they thought of him immediately.
And the other guys in their bit roles, just you have to pay attention in film. You got to work hard and practice and do it. And now they're in that situation for the majority of minutes. But you've got to play yourself into it. And that's the tough part, because it's not Michigan or Ohio State or whatever linebacker, Penn State linebacker, where you just have those guys in the pipeline. They have to play themselves into this. And I think that's what kind of makes it exciting and gives you some hope. You really haven't seen what they can do in an extended period of time. Right. And the defensive line in front of them is a year older and a year better. That helps free up some things as well. I think it's encouraging. Show me it's encouraging by your play on the field, not by empty rhetoric on the radio program.
I am very excited about the bodies that they have at the linebacker spots. But again, it's a lack of experience there. So you go from being young, although you had two senior starters, you're much younger now all of a sudden. So it is a lack of experience situation. You've got a number of guys who've seen some time. Okay, you got Marcus Oliver and TJ to Gray Scales at one spot.
Yeah,
they've both seen good time. Clyde Newton, Zeke Walker, Dawson Fletcher, it's Clyde Newton. And then the other two guys have not really played much at all.
They think they're more athletic at that position as
exactly. well. Exactly. They are athletic. I think they're bringing up more and more better athletes at that spot, and I think there's a lot of bodies to choose from. But ultimately, just like the wide receivers, we keep hearing about all this promise at the wide receiver spot.
Do it.
Same exact thing at the linebacker spot. I got to see it.
But
I got to see it in some space. Yep. I got to see it with tackle. That's where this defense has really suffered. On the back end, you've got a ton of questions, because here's four spots, all of which are brand new starters. Chase Dutra saw a lot of time last year, there's no question, but he wasn't a starter. He was behind Mark Murphy, got one start all year long. He's a promising guy. Everybody says he's taken over as the leader. Again,
good.
We will see. I'm happy to hear it. But at all the other spots, you've got guys that don't have a lot of experience back there. And the whole question with them, as I've said, is also going to be, you had the group last year that wasn't any good on in passing defense, and I've put a lot of that on a pass rush, and getting something with your front three or four. Exactly right. So is the pass rush going to help out the fact that you've got four brand new starters? It's sure better.
Everything,
or you're going to get shredded again.
But that's the whole point. If you have a great team, you don't have any weaknesses. And Indiana's not a great team, so you know that. So there are parts of this that are going to be works in progress. And if they weren't, you'd be preseason top 25, and you'd be doing this and that and the other thing. So you have to point out what you'd hope to get better. But again, the guys that are starting too deep at corner, too deep at safety, five of the six have been here.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't beat out Bennett, and they couldn't beat out.
Yeah,
that's why they're not on the field. So there's some of them had injury problems. I get that. It happens. But what it has to do is, this is where development in spring, when you don't get those extra practices, you don't go to a bowl, then everybody leaves, and you got to fill these spots, and you don't get that stuff. You got to make it work in the spring. You got to make it work in the fall. The secondary is going to be interesting, because Kevin Wilson really addressed that before the season started. He took Brandon Shelby as the cornerbacks coach and Noah Joseph as the safeties coach, and made them co-backfield coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see, I don't know if he thought in the sense it was fracturing, but it needed work everywhere, so you might as well attack it together as instead of piece by piece. That, to me, is proactive. Whether it turns into wins or losses, I don't know. But at least you're not saying, well, look who we got back there. We're going to just try it.
Right.
We've tried something different. I get that. I think that's positive working forward. I think it's shown in the locker room, at least from everything we've read about it or seen about it. The film's better. The questions are better. The work's better.
We'll see.
That's it. You can't do anything else in fall except play your home opener or play your first opener and then put it on the field and go from there. But at least you're not sitting around going, well – you're screwed. You don't have any experience. They've tried to do something to make it different, and at least you're doing something.
I don't know.
That's positive.
I don't know
opinion.
Exactly what that change really does.
Neither do I.
Give it a try. Why not? I'm sure.
It's something different because you talked about it. Yeah. This defense wasn't notoriously better last year, so do something different.
Well,
you got rid of a coordinator 2 years ago.
Right.
So last year you had the first year of a brand new scheme, and you can't tell me everybody's on the same page on that half the season.
I have to point this part out because this is imperative to your defense the last 2 years, and it will be this year. This is year five, and I don't get real big on judging in Indiana football. I have said you give Kevin Wilson 7 years because, first of all, I think it takes that long to get it stable at the very least. But to show you why it's an issue to look at 3, 4, and 5 years and think you're going to get something wonderful is, on the back end of this defense, you've got an awful lot of second- and first-year players cracking into that depth chart. And even some third-year juniors, guys who, you know, T.J. Simmons, Clyde Newton, these are guys that are – Marcus Oliver, these are third-year guys.
That's a big class.
That's three-year guys, not fifth-year guys, not fourth-year guys. First 2 years for most of this team looks to be a washout when it comes to a lot of your spots. Now, I mean, yes, Jason Spriggs, yes, Nate Sudfeld, no question. But on the defensive side,
this is
where it really hurts that they went for all the JUCOs in a two-year period and whiffed on the majority of them. Because there was 10 JUCOs they tried to bring on the defensive end for a quick fix. Then they could have been ideally bringing in some young kids that would still be here and would be at the top of your depth chart. Instead, we're talking true freshmen on your depth chart at six spots.
Yep, and part of that is it's a win-now environment, man. You got to go. You don't get 7 or 8 years to figure it out and turn it around and stock up. So how do you stock up quickly? You do it through the JUCO ranks, and you can see, well, it didn't. And, again, first-time head coach, those are possibilities of that happening. Absolutely
again, that's the Indiana football situation, so that's where we are this year. We'll look at the schedule when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass will be in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
No show next Monday. It's Labor Day. We hope you enjoy it as well. We'll be back a week from tonight with a full recap of the Colts 53-man roster and opening weekend for your Hoosiers.
It'll be a busy Wednesday. And, of course, this Friday is high school football. Cascade coming to town. Should say Cloverdale coming to town. One of those. To face Edgewood. Edgewood's going to smear them anyways. Doesn't matter. 6:30 Chalk Talk. 7 o'clock is a kickoff for that. And before we run through the IU football schedule, they start with Southern Illinois this Saturday at 4 o'clock at Memorial Stadium. Yeah, we bring in our friend John. How you doing, John?
Hey, guys. I'll make this quick because I know you're running out of time. I'd like to get a prediction from both of you before the season starts on what the record's going to be. And like I told Glass, I'm not going to hold you to it because my predictions have been awful over the years.
Well, you can hold me to it. Last year was easy. Once you lose your starting quarterback in the first Big Ten game, you know that's you don't have to worry about any predictions.
I'll go on the record and say I'm with the offensive line and with a really good running back and a quarterback, I think they're going to go 7-5 and go to a bowl game.
All right, I'll buy into that.
I'll be very happy with that.
We're going to run through the schedule here right now. So if you can stick around for 5 minutes, we should give you the answer by the end of that.
You have to win week one. Southern Illinois, I think.
You have to win week one and two. Florida International was not very good.
No, they were not. And you're paying them, a million apiece? A million to go, a million to come?
Give me a win.
Playing $1 million, you better buy somebody you can beat.
Look, there's
the biggest game in the preseason for me is Western Kentucky because they have offensive firepower. Brom, the old guy at Louisville, they get out and they chuck it.
Yeah.
Chuck it around there, but they can't defend anybody either, John, so it might be a match made in heaven.
There are six games on this schedule that are swing games because they have to win the first two. They won't, in my opinion, win the other four. But the swing games start with Western Kentucky and Wake Forest.
The W's.
Either one of those can go either way. Wake was not great last year.
What do you think Wake Forest is a swing game? Because
it's on the road.
ACC team.
It's an ACC
team. It's not a ranked SEC team.
They've had some pretty decent athletes. It's the second year of a new coaching staff down there, and it's on the road in a place that if I thought
Indiana
we were more solid at certain spots, if I thought I could trust our offense with what Kevin Wilson wants to do every day, but I didn't see that early last year when everybody was healthy, If I thought that was the case, I'd feel better about that. But there's too many still question marks. We're not going to hold the ball for 40 minutes of time of possession with Jordan Howard and Devin Redding down there and you know, win the game in a shootout or in a grudge match like that. It's going to be a tight game one way or another. So to me, it could go either way. The other games I look at Rutgers here. Again, they beat us there. They could beat us here. We can beat them here. I don't think there's any question about that. But will we? Again, it's a swing to me. The other three are Iowa and Michigan at home. You can beat both those teams at home. I mean, you can. But again, we know how talented they are. They can both beat you. And then at Purdue, what was the stat? Since 1947, Indiana has not won three straight in the bucket series.
Right,
that's not just a coincidence. I mean, this is a heated rivalry. It seldom goes one way in a big way for a long period of time. It doesn't. So that to me is another one.
We'll see if Kyle Flood at Rutgers has his job by the time we play him. He's had some.
It's a great question.
But if
it's an easy win, chalk it up, and there's one of your games. Fine.
The easy hard thing to do is, who's going to quit on their coach 6-7 weeks in? That's the other thing you look.
Well,
sure. Again, you can't know that.
Is that Kirk Ferentz's team? I kind of doubt it.
Well,
it's not Jim Harbaugh's team.
No, might not have the talent there. Is it Purdue? Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? They get up for their kids. They work strangely. And again, when you made your prediction last year for IU, what was it? 7-5 again?
Yep.
Well, you know what happens. Nate Sudfeld gets hurt. And his prediction goes out the window. If Connor Cook gets hurt at Michigan State, they're going to have a better chance to be better than if Rutgers' starting quarterback gets hurt. And you can go through who mixes and matches on that.
And, John, back to your original question. I look at the schedule, and I think high end is – everything goes right, it's 8 wins. More realistic, if they get the offense rolling, it's 7. To me, it's a 6-6 team. I don't think the offense is going to make as many plays as they got last year, even though the wide receivers didn't do anything. And I don't think the defense is going to take a huge leap that everybody seems to think they will.
I think next year
the defense will have a lot coming back and has got a real chance to start being good, not just they're out there. This year, it's still more growing to me.
What if two things that I think? What if Latham and Nate Hoff, a guy I really like a lot, blow up and are better than people? Well, and they think Latham's going to be really good, but what if they're as good as expected, or maybe better? And Hoff's better.
Can either of them play in the secondary?
That kind of preempts the fact that they're playing a 3-4 against teams that can run the football.
My only problem with that, and I'd love it if they do. I don't see a consistent. A dramatic pass rush coming out of 200-300-pound guys that play the same position. To me, what this team lacks is 250-pound guys that are 6'4", 6'5", that can run circles around offensive tackles. That's what this team still lacks, and it's hard to get, don't get me wrong. I mean, these guys are snapped up pretty quickly by the Ohio States of the world, but that's what this team still lacks are those guys that drive your tackles nuts.
And I think that's how you get to an 8-win team, John. If all that does fire and your quarterback is your quarterback and the running game is balanced and guys run routes and don't drop balls and your four tight ends do it, and like Coach Wilson says, you kick it right, you punt it right, you field it right. Yeah, that's what 8-win teams do. They do things very well in three facets. Can Indiana do that? We're not sure.
John, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. And just to quote him again, to me, it's all about line play. So it's all about the offensive line.
That's a good start
right now. And if the defensive line does what John's talking about, it'll be a better defense. But will it? I think it'll get incrementally better. But, again, 6 wins for me, 6 wins for you.
Yep,
there
six
you go.
And six.
And that's a bowl game, and that's what this team needs more than anything.
Start there and work your way up.
Music means we got to head on out of here, folks. We'll be back next Wednesday. So tune in then, and we will talk to you later. You've been in the zone.